Hey, welcome to the Bizarre Briefing for September 2016. I'm Bryce Castillo, joined with, as always, Brant Hughes.
Hi.
And John Tilton.
Yo.
We are the...
I don't know.
I love it.
What am I supposed to do?
Yo.
Your enthusiasm, it really shines through. I love
it. I'm super excited.
We are the crew and staff behind Bizarre Magic and some of your favorite internet properties, Scam School and Modern Rogue, Scam Stuff, Scam School Remix... Night Attack and look, okay. Come on.
I kid.
This is the show where we come together once a month and talk about some recent changes and things that have happened and give you a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah. Sure. and also we just come here to talk about the weather and
Is it raining right now? Is that what that is?
No, that's probably
no,
the AC.
Air.
But it was storming so bad this morning, it woke me up at 6 a.m.
And it doesn't rain a lot in Texas, but I feel like 50% of the time we've had our shows, it's been raining. So that's kind of a weird
We should do this show more often. Then.
what topic do we want to go into first, Brant? We got a lot of things here.
Yeah. I don't know, dog.
Let's talk about this most recent thing, because I think this was really cool.
Sure.
A few weeks ago, at our Modern Rogue shoot for the Millwall Brick episode, which went up a few weeks back, Brant was dutifully carrying around his one of our cameras, and was shooting a behind the scenes featurette. And it just released, and it's very, very cool. It's not in this doc. Can you tell us a little bit more about like putting it together? And
it was kind of a cool idea I thought of like, hey, let's show people the whole process of this thing. And I was able to cut it down to about 45 minutes. At the end of the day, I had 8.5 hours of footage. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it kind of starts off with me heading out to Brian's and then us trying to figure out what we're going to do and then us getting to the location and actually filming the episode and, like, us scouting out locations while we were there. And it also shows all of the edit process and all of that kind of stuff. It just seemed like kind of a fun idea. And at some point, I sort of had to put it together, so...
Yeah, and I like that you did. I especially like the second half of the video is basically just a sped up single segment of the editing process for this episode, and you're narrating it the whole time. And I think that was really enlightening to see, especially as I don't know we've started working, you know, together on like Scam School and stuff, seeing this is how he does audio mixing, or this is how he does his passes versus the way I do them.
Right.
And it's a very full look at like, well, first I do multicam and I cut out the stuff I know that's not going to be here and polish color and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. And if you haven't seen it yet, go to youtube.com/scamstuff. That is our behind the scenes channel, and that's where it's living.
Yeah, and it's way more palatable than like a live stream, which I sometimes do, because that's all real time. That's
right.
You're gonna sit there for 8 hours watching me look through this episode a whole bunch of times. But this video, you can kind of just sit there for half an hour to an hour,
and it shows you more than you would find from a live stream.
Sure, yeah.
You actually see part of us shooting, part of us prepping.
And see this janky ass setup where we've got 3 cameras and 2 camera operators, which is like the worst idea.
Yeah. It's a good thing we didn't base the entire production business on it.
Yeah, that'd be a bad idea.
Who would do that, huh? So very cool. Thank you for getting that together.
Yeah, no problem. I was thinking maybe one of these days I'll get to doing that for other stuff see how the entire process of a remix is made. See how the entire process of a Scam School is made.
Yeah, because they come from different places. You know, remix is very edit heavy, but it has its own considerations when you're editing.
Sure.
Versus Scam School, which has sort of a more understood flow in production and editing. And you take you handle it differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine doing that for like the scam, some of the scam stuff assembly, because like I'm just thinking if I did that, how embarrassed I would be from it, because it's just like. Like thinking about like the Rogue's Tavern, it's like, oh, this is me building it, and then people come in and help, and then leave, and then like, oh, this is where like I like pulled out my back and had to like take a 10-minute break. It's right. Like,
yeah,
I would think yours is a lot more interesting than the assembly process.
Well, there was also a little bit of like this sort of embarrassing thing where there was like a specific like text transition that I wanted to do for that episode. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah, and you kind of walk through that in After Effects of kind of how you were
working
on that.
It was one of these things where I knew there had to be like a moment in the episode, but I didn't know what that moment was. So there's a lot of me just like fumbling around with text in really awkward ways. I mean, luckily here it's sped up really fast, so you don't really have to sit in that moment for too long, but there is a little bit of that as well.
Yeah. Speaking of Modern Rogue, I think it is a good transition to go into talking about the new YouTube channel for the
Modern
Rogue. Was this launched last time we
No.
No.
It kind of was, because we did it was a couple weeks ago, we had a belated episode, and we made the link to subscribe.
Right. Yes.
So we got our first, like, 4 subscribers.
Yeah. That's right.
So there was literally 1 subscriber last time we did this.
One or two.
It's eventually. One or two. If
eventually.
Depending if you count yourselves or not.
Yeah.
So bit.ly/modernroguechannel, that's still the short link that we're using for right now, is where the Modern Rogue is going to live. And it's great. You know, the new episodes are, you know, doing really well for, you know, the size of the channel.
Yeah, 30,000 subscribers.
And almost 30,000 views on, like, both of the new videos that have come out since then.
Yeah.
And we also got a nice little surge of views on the old episodes, because we did one of the giveaway videos. We enticed people to go and leave comments on the videos that were relevant to the content of the video, not just I want to win a contest.
Yeah, although that didn't stop from just saying meaningful comment.
This is a meaningful comment, yeah.
Which I've been deleting, because knock it off.
Well, it's also weird, because we like literally said, like I understand their take on it, but they also should know that we're not usually it's completely random, but this particular one, it had a random kind of start, and then I would randomly come up on it, and there were ones that came up where it said meaningful comment that I literally couldn't pick, because it wasn't in the guidelines, and it was like, okay, this person literally would have won, but they were like a smart ass instead.
Yeah.
So they gave up their prize.
Shame.
It was a shame.
It's a shame.
Anyway, sorry.
I think maybe part of the downfall of that was we said meaningful comment twice instead of like a synonym for that, like, but you got to leave a relevant, you know, like it probably wouldn't have helped too much, but it could have.
I think no matter what, everyone was going to do something, like something was going to catch on, or in fact, it was actually probably good that it happened, because it just made it clear, like, oh, these are not meaningful comments.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe now to the Modern Rogue channel, bit.ly/modernroguechannel, all lowercase. On YouTube, the new episodes are going to be there on Fridays now. We talked about this last month, and now Modern Rogue is going to be on Friday mornings instead of Thursday.
We should probably tell Jason. I don't know if anybody's told Jason.
I mean, I guess not. has he asked about it? Or
no, I just noticed the first time we did a Friday release was this past week.
Right.
And like 2 days before it, he was in the comments saying that it comes out on Thursday. But I mean, that was also in a time where we hadn't like fully decided yet. But I'll send Jason a message in Slack after this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing Fridays at 10 a.m. I want to say
in the morning. It'll be there when you go to work. and need a break.
Sure. But yeah, channel's doing good. Also, there's a Modern Rogue subreddit if you like Reddit.
That's right. That's Reddit.
There's also a link on that channel.
On that
YouTube channel.
But I can't say that out loud. Reddit.com/r/modernrogue or, oh my gosh, is this what it looks like?
Yeah. You're such a scrub, by the way. It's modernrogue.reddit.com.
Okay, whatever. For some reason I was like, oh, there's spam right on top. No, that's an ad. I never view Reddit with the custom CSS stuff, so I hadn't seen this. This is really cool.
Yeah.
So all of the new episodes are going to be here, and you know, we've got comment sections here, so you can talk to us and
get your user flare now.
That's right.
Go peep out all of that user flare.
I love Brant Gansfield hates Mondays.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I made Brian's user flare pickle.
Of course. Because he hates pickles.
Yep.
So that's the Modern Rogue. You know, I think right now with only a couple weeks in at that sort of launch trajectory that we got, I think it was really good. I think it's doing really well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how that goes.
For sure.
What is what's this topic here, Brian?
You want to do that?
Okay. Yeah, let's do this. Well, because it's also about Modern Rogue.
Sure. So we have Modern Rogue on its own channel. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about monetization.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about customer acquisition.
as far as like all Modern Rogue episodes go, as they've been uploaded to both the Scam School channel, the Modern Rogue channel, and the Scam Stuff channel, mm-hmm. none of them have had Google AdSense. None of them have had YouTube's integrated ad system activated.
Right.
And there's a variety of reasons behind that, partially because if we activated on the Scam School channel, we probably wouldn't see much, if any, of that money.
Mm-hmm. Because we have a deal where we see a percentage of that channel.
Yeah, and also we kind of didn't want anything limiting the possible outreach for those episodes. So we didn't want like any barriers to entry. Mm-hmm. And so however you want to look at it, no money from that revenue stream. Then we've got sponsored segments, mm-hmm. which we've done for, I want to say like a third of the episodes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like a good handful. And so those end up being from a couple of companies. So we have contacts at like
Dollar Shave Club and
at like an agency that helps you, like,
yeah,
hey, we know people at these companies, here's this, yeah, ad
they
campaign
sell ads
that
for us. They sell ads.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, that's also more reliable than
the YouTube system.
YouTube stuff,
because that's very seasonal.
Yeah, and you know, the amount of money you make off of viewers changes just depending on regions. Mm-hmm. And there are like a million different variables. So we need to make a living off of Modern Rogue.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to say, yeah, let's make this like a really big focus, but also let's make zero money off of it. At the very least, we have expenses and time,
yeah,
to compensate for.
Especially Modern Rogue, which, you know, regularly has, like, we have to, Jason is going and getting, you know, materials for all these episodes.
Sure.
And like, unlike Scam School, where we generally have all that stuff.
It's like, how much does rubber bands cost?
Right.
Right. How much does a deck of cards cost?
Meanwhile, we, you know, we're buying milk and melons and chemicals and stuff.
And like a couple $100 in guns and bullets and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guns were not cheap.
Yeah.
The real cost of Scam School, though, is making sure everyone has a beer to drink on the episode.
True.
That's the true cost, because, yeah, you're right. Everything else is like, oh, rubber bands, playing cards.
Sharpie.
Though, again, Scam School's been around for a long time, so that is already budgeted and accounted for.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. So I wanted to toss out an idea.
Okay.
It's something that I feel like Brian has been kind of resistant to, obviously not speaking on his behalf or anything, just kind of my thoughts. So I thought it might be cool if we kept rolling with sponsors for a while. And then at a certain point, maybe we release a Patreon and have milestone goals to take away ads. That way we can have like a certain amount of reliability of, okay, as long as we're making this much money, we won't run ads. It's the cleanest possible solution, because then you're not getting YouTube ads, you're not getting sponsors in there. And like,
and it sidesteps any of the technicalities with the YouTube monetization where, you know, you kind of aren't supposed to be able to sell ads on YouTube if it's not through their system, full stop. You know, weird stuff that they ignore.
And for me, it just feels like a really clean option. And also, if we ended up never getting like beyond the barrier at which we feel comfortable not running sponsors, then like that money could go towards production budget or something like that. And people could still donate if they wanted to, but then we wouldn't like have to say, oh, well, now that we've got a little bit of money, then we could do whatever. Brian, I feel like he's reluctant in that, in a couple of variables where one, like Scam School trends younger. So if Modern Rogue has kind of the same demographic, then like
they won't have as
how
much.
how many 12-year-olds are going to give us money on Patreon? Right. And two, he's worried a little bit about like Patreon fatigue, which is something that I have I have zero experience with. I'm not involved in one Patreon. I mean, I support like 20, but I'm not actively involved as a creator on any Patreon. Whereas Brian's like, he's got like six shows on Patreon or something.
And I think that is a pretty real concern.
Which is part of the reason why like I kind of like that ad barrier kind of thing, because then it gives people a reason to support if they wanted to, but it's not like we would have to go.
Is it possible to see how much crossover there is with like even something that you would expect a lot of crossover for, like maybe the Cord Killers and the Night Attack Patreons? Is it possible to generate lists and compare those?
Because
if that's something that, if you expected that to be what, like, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd be like, oh, probably 80% of those are on both. But then you like actually ran it and it was like, oh, 10%.
Well, yeah. And those shows are wildly different in terms of content.
You know? But I would think that they're might be similar in Patreon donors. But yeah, see, so already, if I'm wrong about that, then I would think Modern Rogue versus those shows would be also completely different.
But it's not so much about like cannibalizing anything. I don't know. I think that's an element of it, and certainly that's something that could affect the current, you know, Diamond Club fan base in terms of being a principal base in a Patreon. But I also think there's a logistical issue with selling ad inventory. And, you know, when we go to like whatever agency is selling the ads, right? Right now they know that every week there is a space available, or there are spaces available for X, Y month, for each week basically, right? But if there becomes this Patreon variable of like, oh well, we just hit this goal, so we aren't going to run a sponsor segment on this upcoming video or whatever, that can affect when sponsors want to run campaigns or run an ad read. And so logistically, it's a very, I think it would be tougher to acquire ads, because on our side, we would need time to like shoot those ad segments. But advertisers also want a bit of a heads up and control on when those ad reads go out. So I think that would be a tough thing.
I mean, pretty much all of the ads we've had for Modern Rogue have come in within like a week of them airing. We've never really sold out like in advance, kind of in the way that we do with Scam School, right? Scam School is booked out for a month and a half or whatever these days. But Modern Rogue is like, sometimes we'll find out like a couple days before the episode goes up, hey, can you put it in this week's episode? And obviously, it would be
different if we had to say, similarly, a couple days before, hey, we can't run your ad because our Patreon hit a certain number.
Sure.
You know, that would be, that would, I mean, for as janky as it is to ask for an ad read so close to launch, it would be probably worse to say, hey, we're canceling this ad read or we're pushing it.
But I think if we were like close to that milestone, I feel like we would be kind of in the state we are now, where we're maybe running fewer ads and we're running them closer to the actual launch of the episode. Mm-hmm. So it would be, it's not like there'd be some expectation of, oh, you have this grand inventory that we can just fill up at leisure.
Sure.
And so that would be something where we would be bracing for that if we were already close to that kind of switchover moment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly something we could probably account for, but I do think that would also limit the sponsors that might want to work with us. The other thing is figuring out what rewards we could offer as a Patreon, you know, or if there's anything that we gate on Patreon versus, like, with Chord Killers and Weird Things, the extra shows for those are time gated. So After Things comes out, and Spoiler Time comes out on Wednesdays. But if you're a Patreon, you can get it the night that they're pushed out for everybody early.
By the way, just want to say, you guys should really update the Chord Killers Patreon. It still says the Spoiler Zone.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like the only reward, and it's like, oh yeah, you get the Spoiler Zone, and I'm like, I don't think that's the name of that show.
Yeah, no. I know. Oh, that's one of many things that I need to just clean up on those Patreons.
Yeah.
I also wonder how much of an incentive it is for people to like be getting rid of that ads. I know on our side we'd like to get rid of ads, but it almost seems like you wouldn't even have to make it a Patreon reward. It could just be like a thing where, you know, eventually when the time is right, the ads go away because the Patreon's doing well, but have rewards that are, you know, because then you don't run into the problems Bryce was expressing. It would just depend on how much we think that people are like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to give money to get rid of the ads. Like, I know there's some people who are super, like, who would love for ads not to be in there, but I don't know if that's like the bulk of the people going to Patreon. I think, at least, and again, this is my assumption. I have no research to back any of this up.
Hey, me
but
neither.
I would think people who are going to Patreon, because we get a lot of people coming to the store who you can buy stuff on our store from other places too, but they'll even write it in an email when they ask a question, and they'll say that they're specifically coming to support, you know, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular person isn't necessarily looking for, you know, no ads and no, you know, they're looking to support Brian in some way. And if that means watching an ad, that's fine with them. And if it means, oh, here's an opportunity to give a little bit a month to help the show be better and, you know, help the company grow, then, you know, they actually might just like doing it no matter what.
Yeah. And yeah. Right now there's no way for people to say, hey, I want to support you for the Modern Rogue.
That's true. That's true.
Other than like going to an old episode and signing up for a service that they may or may not want.
Right. I mean, you know, definitely like Patreon is, I don't know. I think it would. I don't know. I really don't know.
It's a tough thing to think about.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially because with Brian, who, like, with Chord Killers and Night Attack, we're trying to figure out ways that we can give more incentives to the Patreons. Right. Like, for a while there, Justin was putting out mixtapes every week of the album tracks, but, you know, that kind of stopped. And you know, now we're doing, I guess we can talk about this in a minute, but we're trying to do things like the RSS feeds for patrons and stuff, but trying to find incentives for people to continue to use Patreon, because just generally the numbers are, you know, down a little bit, mm-hmm. right? And whether it's in terms of people are getting Patreon fatigue, whether it's, you
people
know,
re-budgeting
not,
or
right.
like whatever, yeah.
Or just people leaving and, you know, us not promoting these things outside of the actual shows. Mm. You know, for whatever reason it is, we want there to be an incentive for people to do it, because there should be, right? But like with Cord Killers and Night Attack, it like the idea of budgeting any more of Brian's time for those things has pretty much always been like a non-starter. Mm-hmm. Of just like whether it's a Google Hangouts or some extra exclusive thing every X weeks or whatever, like it's pretty much like always been like, well, I don't think I can commit that time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is understandable. He's in front of a camera for a lot of time throughout the week and dealing with other stuff. But to open up a Modern Rogue Patreon and to have to find more avenues to fill there, that I think is going to be a big hurdle. Also, is just being able to prove extra benefit for those patrons, you know, versus something like just getting a PayPal button somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's definitely like an element of me like watching back through old episodes and being like, yeah, I guess the episode is kind of done, but there's still like a minute and a half in this episode. And
it's an ad read.
Yeah. And it's kind of just like, well, that's fine, I guess, but that's not really why I'm watching the show.
Yeah.
And Waffle Officus is talking about in chat about Scam School, where he's like, you know, sometimes ad can be a real draw to the content.
I think especially if for people like Waffle Officus who have, you know, been a fan for a long time, and Scam School, while I think there's always new creative stuff there, like it, that show's been around so long that ad in the middle does add such a, like, that's the biggest flavor that changes every week, right? Like, mm-hmm. so the trick content can be good still, but for someone who's been a fan for years and years and years, you know, that's the thing that would be the most different from, you know, the episodes that they watch.
Sure.
Because everything else is, you know, in that, like, you know, you might not know the trick, but you know kind of what to expect from it. Whereas sure. that's always a surprise, you yeah. know? So it kind of makes you think, like, oh, I wonder what it'll be.
When also those ad reads are very time and creative intensive. And
yeah.
I mean, there's a reason. There's kind of, I mean, you know, now, partially because of Vessel, but I mean, ads are usually the big part of the week that an episode goes up on YouTube.
Yeah.
For us. And they are really draining. Like,
I mean, a lot of times they take as much effort as the episode itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More so because you're usually doing it on your own mm-hmm. without, you know, having, like, with without Game School, crew. There's content. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Game School, there's an idea that's been thought out and shot and done. And then the ads, you know, last week I woke up on Wednesday. I was like, I don't know what the ad is going to be. And I hate this. I hate this more than doing the ads is my least favorite part of the job, like, to be honest. Like, they're fun and I like, you know, coming up with something creative, but the feeling of like, I don't know what I'm gonna do and I have to like figure this out on my own, I hate it. I really don't like it.
Preaching to the choir,
you know. So, you know, for that to like become a part of Modern Rogue, I don't think is...
Oh, that will never happen. I will not allow that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that... Well,
like that kind into. Of thing?
Right. It's
not going to happen.
What if someone...
It's completely untenable.
What if like Cheerios was like, dude, we'll pay you $1 million per ad. And you'll be like, we'll do one every hour.
I mean,
well, then
I mean,
I'll,
that's different.
You know, I mean, I'll pay somebody to do the Scam School yeah, yeah. stuff, and I'll be like, all right, I guess.
Like if, I don't know, if we got another editor or someone who could like... Like, just do that. Hey, you want to just do ads? You got right. ideas. You want to just do ads?
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
I like, I hope Cheerios sponsors us, though. I think that's a really
For the
good
record, I love Cheerios. I ate Cheerios last night for dinner.
Honey Nut or
Honey Nut. Yeah, hell yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that's where it's at.
You know, I mean, Frosted. The, yeah. Oh, you know what? Cinnamon?
Damn, I haven't had Frosted
I haven't
Cheerios
tried
in
the
years.
Cinnamon ones. Are those
the
good?
The cinnamon ones are really good.
I've tried.
The frosted ones, I think you can only get in winter or like near the Winter Olympics.
I think the real takeaway here is that there's a flavor of Cheerios for every one of us.
I also think that everyone is convinced.
No matter your taste,
I believe
there's a Cheerios for you.
Everyone in the audience is just convinced that Cheerios is sponsoring us, like this show specifically.
That's just what it says in the doc. It says, make sure to organically bring up Cheerios.
Cheerios paid $1 million. Please bring it up.
Well, and that's like we've done sponsored content before, right? We did the Now You See Me 2 basically episode length video about, you know, a bunch of quick tricks that you can do, which mm-hmm. was sponsored by Now You See Me 2. And that was the kind of thing where like it was a nice chunk of change and we had the time and resources to do it. But also that's a Scam School like type content. So, you know, plugging that in with, you know, tricks and things and editing it is like, yeah, that's definitely something we can do kind of not procedurally, but like we have a formula for that. There's a book. We got a book for magic, but not necessarily for the ads.
Also, Medley Crunch Cheerios. Really, really
good.
What are
good. Medley Crunch Cheerios?
Just next time you're there, look
just
for
like
it.
Like all the flavors put together?
It's like
is it one of the ones that you get like in a bag at the bottom of the under the shelf?
Yeah.
No. It's like an actual Cheerios thing, and it's like there's like little bits of like granola and like some nuts and stuff. It's like a bunch of stuff together with the Cheerios. It's not. I don't want to compare it to trail mix, but like imagine if trail mix didn't taste like trail mix, but it was like.
And it didn't have the M&M.
It's kind of like a variety type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's good though. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off track. I was just thinking about how that's like one of the best ones that I feel less people know.
You're
about.
Never off track with Cheerios.
Ding. So it's tough, right? Like we want to figure it out.
Yeah.
But partially because the show is still kind of new, and it's still new on its new channel. You know, we have to figure out where that stuff is going to land. I think a Patreon would be interesting. And I think if we could suddenly get a second Brian who could dedicate more time to like promoting stuff.
God, if only,
you know,
we should get Jay to do half a Brian show.
He could just like put on a Brian mask. Jay.
Hey, I'm Brian Brushwood.
He's got close enough to the same laugh, so.
They do have a very similar laugh, even though everything else about them is pretty different.
Iconic Brushwood trait.
I feel like if Brian ever wanted to go on a true vacation, that would be like a great. Although, of course, Jay couldn't go on the vacation with him if it was like a family thing. But then, like, having Jay come in and, like, legitimately do, like, everything Brian does for a week would be, like, the greatest thing.
It would be pretty good.
It would be amazing.
But yeah, that's a thing I kind of wanted to have figured out by the time that we released the new channel.
Because
if we were gonna do like a big change up like that, that would have been a real good time to do it.
I think with the especially with the new channel, and like being able to target those viewer like to get cement those people in a little more, and I think that would have been cool. But I also feel like it's not the worst thing if we let that channel grow more, because like the guys have talked about Patreons and stuff before on like after things and like, you know, proving your value before asking people for money is like is the right way to do that sort of stuff, right? And I think Modern Rogue is getting like better, and we're getting a better handle on like how to do it. Like in terms of like getting it shot and scheduling stuff and making sure that it's there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think so.
A year later, what you're saying is we haven't proven our value. We have no value a year later.
No, that's not.
That's verbatim what you said.
No, but I'm saying with the new channel.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
No, it's fine. I hear what you're saying.
Okay. I'm not trying to take a crap on all of us, especially right? But like when you Google the Modern Rogue, like that channel should show up and not like the Scam School playlist or something. Like we've still got ducks to get in a row. Like the channel URL. Like, I think we're just waiting for that
for the 30-day mark.
The 30 days, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also a thing where like 90% of people probably just super don't care if there are ads or not. And it's just like there's also a thing of me looking at Danny O'Dwyer's new Patreon and being like, man, like people really love that dude. Like I'm a very high tier backer of him for right now because like I really love that he's kind of going out on his own and like taking a risk and he's doing interesting stuff. And it's like I don't know, I feel like on some level we're kind of doing interesting stuff too. And like
I wonder if it's different because he's doing a monthly video game documentary series where we do sort of a weekly sort of science edutainment sort of series, right? And I just wonder if like if being a higher volume sort of project would change that, you know? Because he is like trending very high on Patreon. He's also on a per month rather than a per release sort of schedule, I believe. I don't know. That's one of the things I think about. Like, you know, the podcast and stuff, like in totality are like not super high up there on Patreon, but they're also per week and not per month, which is different. So I don't know. We've also been like pushing like all of the promotion, like all of our like fan promotion buttons lately, like with the new channel, like trying to get everybody over there first, you know? I don't know.
Next topic. Let's talk about ads.
That's right. So October.
We love to do ads in the month of October.
So good, though. So lay it out for us, Brant.
So all of October, we're going to do some spooky themed ads on Scam School. I don't remember if we did very many spooky themed. Yeah, Cheerios. I don't know if we did any spooky themed ads last year.
I don't think we did.
I know 2 years ago I did a full month, and that was the year of what was the name of the big villain, Scare Lord.
Yeah.
That was the Scare Lord arc. That was fun. I feel like although horror and scary things is like my default with Scam School ads. We had that.
Yeah, everyone's like, there's nothing different.
Yeah. We had that inflatable tube man ad, which like really took a dark turn. And that's just like my favorite direction to go with that stuff.
Oh, we had the salads, the eating salads ad.
Yeah.
Which kind of went dark.
And also I think like that's just like a really good way to like be subversive with messaging to be like, oh, everything's fine. And then be like, everything's not fine. I think that's just like a really fun way to present that information. I shot an ad yesterday with Brian before he left and it's gonna set up all that stuff.
Ooh.
And hopefully it's not garbage, but yeah, we're gonna do a whole month of that. I don't think we have any idea of what specifically. I do have one idea that I'm gonna try to do.
Okay. Do you wanna? Are you
sure? It's gonna be a. I really want to get Jason in for it, Jason and Brian, and it's gonna be a It Follows ad.
Okay.
And so I'll leave it at that.
All right. Wait, would Jason and Brian be the victims, or would one of them be the bad guy?
Brian would be the victim.
I see. Interesting. Okay. I don't have any solid ideas yet for an ad. I was thinking about it because you brought it up to me a day or so ago. And like thinking, well, what if I motion tracked like a shadowy figure into an episode, and then the ad break is like, did you see that? Rewind the tape. And it's like some sort of ghost sort of thing. I don't know.
That can be kind of cool.
I mean, there might be something there.
Or you play it, and then when you rewind the tape, it's just like something clearly inserted, like have someone do the Bigfoot thing where they like turn. Like it's just like, it's like it clearly was not in there the first time you watched it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be kind of like... kind of like a mix between I had that video editing ad where I just put like blips in the bottom corner.
Oh yeah. That was fun.
So you kind of like if you have a sharp eye, although that one was like so like minimal that there's literally no way anybody ever noticed that before the ad brought it up.
Yeah.
And a mix between that and like the hypnosis ad that I did, where I was like, where I was talking about how
the Knights, Scam School Knights.
No.
Or no, was there a different one?
No, it was the one. It was like the hypnosis vampire one. What's the guy's name? Chris Jones, I want to say.
Yeah. Oh right, yes. Yeah, Chris Jones.
And so I was talking about like how he was like tricking Brian into saying certain things.
Oh, that's right.
And so I like played back footage from earlier in the episode, something like that.
That would be good. Wait. So that would mean next Wednesday. So both of my ads would be the Vegas episodes still.
Hey, wait.
We're still doing Vegas episodes.
Our next bizarre briefing is on Halloween.
Wait, shit, is it? Yeah, that would be on the 31st.
So I don't know if we're doing a spooky theme for
the bizarre briefing. No, the boozar briefing.
Hmm. Oh, I thought you meant booze like alcohol.
I mean,
but that doesn't make any sense when you could mean boo like scaring people, which is clearly what
I don't see how they're mutually exclusive.
We got a full month to figure it out, so we'll workshop it.
As if we've ever planned this show more than an
24 hours before. Yeah.
Like me waking up on Monday and being like, oh, it's the last Monday. I should check the Slack.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't respond.
They already tried to schedule
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun, and I do like when you brought it up to me, I was like, yeah, we should do that, and that will give me something to base ideas off of.
Yeah, for sure, because sometimes it's like you just find yourself on a week where it's like, I got to make an ad, and
I have no idea.
Like, I have no foundation to build off of. Yeah. So it's like somebody says, hey, come up with a really great idea.
Right now.
About anything. It could be about anything.
Yeah.
Just it has to be a really great idea.
And you have to make it in 6 hours.
Right. and at least saying like, oh, it's themed around this. You could go, okay, well, what are like some tropes that happen in this?
And what can I work with what I've already got?
Yeah.
So. Very cool. Well, I'm excited to do that. Let's get to this before I forget. We mentioned this during talking about Patreon for Modern Rogue. So the podcast that Brian does that I work on, Night Attack, the comedy show Chord Killers, the TV and chord cutting show, and then Weird Things, the science and supernatural show, are all on Patreon, are all Patreon supported. And recently Patreon introduced RSS feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that they work them out is everybody gets their own unique link, and then that link reacts to whatever your pledge level is. And so if you stay at whatever the dollar or whatever level it is at, you can plug that link into like iTunes or Overcast and get a podcast feed of the shows, basically, which is really helpful because otherwise we didn't have any way to give people who were getting access to the early shows, the special shows that I mentioned, like After Things and Spoiler in Time. There's no way for them to get them via RSS. So they would either have to use the Patreon app, which is... or they'd have to like download it from the post, or they would just wait for it to come out on Wednesday with everybody else. So that is sort of a new thing. We were able to switch it over with Weird Things pretty immediately because the way that we post those shows is very clean. So Weird Things gets its own post, After Things gets its own post, and the featured media is the episode, the audio MP3 of the episode.
Right.
But for like Chord Killers, which we've got today, that'll be a little different because we will have to start doing Chord Killers like that. Normally, it was you would get a mega post on Monday that would only be for the backers, and it would have just a link to After Thing or to Spoiler in Time and the YouTube embed, which would be unlisted. So you could watch it on YouTube, or you could download it, or listen, you know, via the post. But we're going to have to split that out into a Chord Killers post and an After Things post. Mm-hmm. And the other unfortunate thing is that we won't have the back catalog for that because we were never featuring audio as our featured media. It was always the YouTube link.
Right.
So that when people would go there, they could click on the embed. So now we'll have to say, like, here's the line in the sand. New stuff will be here. Because we still have the public feed. And so all that stuff is still there. Hmm. But it's not only is it, like, time prohibitive to go back and update all that stuff, but it's also there's a difficulty there in that those posts would have to be, like, we'd have to change the content of those posts to be just about spoiler in time because there's no way to go back and add backdated posts, you know.
Gotcha.
But I think the real problem or the real weird thing is going to be with the night attack. Cheeto, if you're a Diamond Club follower for a long time, you know Cheeto. He handles the posting for Night Attack. And Night Attack has two posts every week. It has the episode and then the pre-show and the post-show. And one thing people have been asking for a long time is an RSS feed of an audio version of the pre-show and the post-show.
Weird.
Yeah. Especially because those are the most visual parts of that show. But we get people asking about it, and the problem is, like, those can also be, you know, an hour to 2 hours a week, and that would mean a new RSS feed. We'd have to find out where to store it and all sorts of stuff for what would be a pretty low-volume thing. So with Patreon, and maybe just, like, bounce ideas off you guys right now, we can do, like, with Chord Killers and just, like, draw a line in the sand and say, hey, we're going to change the way that we post these now. You'll start to get them properly, knowing that that will basically cut off all of the old episodes to just where they're relegated on YouTube right now. Because right now they're just on YouTube on the Night Attack channel. The other option would be to go into all of those old episodes and change them so that they, because every week there are two posts, so we could just change the Night Attack post. To embed the old pre-shows and post-shows, but that's just tough because you're going back and changing all of those old posts, and you know the episode posts should be open to the public, and then the pre-show posts are like to backers or whatever. So we'd also have to change like the status of these. We'd have to completely just change what these things were.
Right.
I don't know what you guys like initial just like gut reactions to any of those options are, you know?
Gut reaction, just do the Chord Killer thing. Just line in the sand. This is how we're doing it now. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel about it. That seems simplest, makes the most amount of sense. Mm-hmm. You're not taking anything away from anybody.
Yeah.
And you're just doing things slightly differently. That gives people more options going forward.
That's true. Emritic says in the chat room, I'd love an RSS feed of a low quality video pre-show and post-show. And the problem with that is Patreon only supports audio RSS.
Yeah. A lot of places do that.
Yeah.
Because video is so bandwidth intensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And video podcasting is like the exception. It is by far like the minority. Like Night Attack, like to be real, I mean, depending on the week, can be 70 to 90% of the downloading base of Night Attack is audio. Even with the show being as visual as it is for the live audience. So I that'll probably be what we end up doing. I'll have to just talk with Cheeto about making those changes.
Every now and then I jump into the OMG Chad Discord.
Oh yeah.
Just because like there are always a million people talking in there, so it always shows like the notification thing.
Yeah.
And it's really funny to see Cheeto in the mod section. He's like one of like four mods or whatever, and I'm like, Cheeto.
I know. He's gone real quiet lately because I think he's in school. But he's also doing like a lot of behind the scenes stuff on these podcasts now.
Gotcha.
And so I don't know that he's like, you know, staying up late to watch Night Attack every week or whatever.
Sure.
Emeritix says low quality video would be because he primarily watches on his phone. But even then, you know, a low quality video can be way bigger than just an MP3. Like even now, the MP3s that we put out are like 96 kilobit per second because they are like hour long shows. And if they're over 100 megabytes, people can't download them on mobile data. You know, it's rough. The Waffleophagus says, don't become the Microsoft way of endlessly supporting outdated stuff. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've got the DCTVpedia, all the Patreon posts still exist. The YouTube playlist is still there.
Nitech XP.
Nitech XP. Yeah, that's right.
We're going to support it for the next 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure in 20 years, Nitech will have had 4 more new names.
Probably. and then, like, 20 new albums, all with the same name as the 4 new names of the show.
Yeah. But the numbers will stay.
The numbers will continue as they always have.
It'll go.
Yeah.
Night Attack.
Unless there are live albums, then those don't count.
Then
apparently.
Those apparently won't count.
Has there been a second live album?
No, there hasn't. But we still.
Some would argue that there wasn't a first one.
I might even argue that that first one was kind of like 2 because they were 2 different recording sessions.
Hmm.
2 different live events.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that debate. That was the last Night Attack thing related that I touched, and I remember it was like, I can't even remember what I thought, but whatever I felt like was like I felt very strongly towards, because it was like I'm such like a like collection person where like, you know, we have all the things, and I remember like the discussion was made it like make no sense in my mind, but I eventually just was like whatever. But I remember that whole thing, so it's funny that it's still an issue, that it's like this weird like black sheep of like a where does this belong.
Yeah, I was super displeased that it was not a numbered entry, but then again I was also super displeased that they called all of the albums Night Attack. I thought that was a really weird move, because I was like, yeah, well that's like brand confusion. To me, if you're like, hey, have you heard Night Attack?
Yeah.
It's like, well, hold on. What are you talking about?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and then like naming the show Night Attack after the albums had already been out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a funny thing to be like, well, it was the worst name we could think of. But also like, it was the worst name you could think of, though. It's like, I don't know. It's...
Hey, and I didn't know it was such a big thing still. I thought that was a little...
You know, John, some wounds never heal. Yeah. All right? Modern Rogue is a good name.
Modern Rogue is a pretty good name.
I like that name.
90 years old in a nursing home. Like,
Night
I
Attack.
I remember when Brian Brushwood, he just had a name of Night Attack. Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
It's going to be on my grave.
Yeah.
Put it on my tombstone.
Brian Brushwood, he had a name Night Attack.
Or like Night Attack.
Why did he have to name it Night Attack?
Night Attack should have been called, and you have like whatever your like preferred name was.
Night Attack Live is canonically.
And then it's just got my
Night
phone
Attack
number on it.
Yeah. For a good time call. Yeah. Brian's number. Hey, if you watch the Friday videos or giveaway videos, you may have noticed something fun.
Friday giveaway videos, you say?
Yeah. At the end of them... We what?
No, go
ahead. Oh, okay. we finally got access to YouTube's new end screen tool, which is if you've ever seen like the cards option, or if you've ever seen a YouTube card where it pops up the little thing like, hey, this is a suggested video, or this is related to what they're talking about.
Right.
They're doing something similar to that for like call to actions, basically the last 20 seconds of a video can have links to channels to subscribe to.
Like, comment, subscribe. Here's some related videos.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, basically what we do with the end of Scam School now, but instead of using annotations, because end screen also, by the way,
does not allow you to use. Yeah, which
you
is
can
weird.
Use end screen, or you can use annotations. Well, part of it is like annotations are a super old system that, like,
Once
we get rid of them, the better.
Yeah, I understand that they're trying to phase them out, but it was like really weird to just be like, "Oh, you have annotation, you can't have," cause, especially because like we build content visually that makes sense with annotations, and so it's weird to just like cut it off. So,
But cards, really like that. Ideally, cards were meant to replace that because the annotation system just was not compatible, right? And so for as much as we have, you know, click here buttons, that's not something YouTube, I think, wants to be.
Yeah.
You know, none of that stuff would work on TV. Well, I guess cards don't work on TV yet either, but... so what this is it basically lets you set up to the last 20 seconds of video to be clickable, rich sort of links over the video to videos and channels and links and stuff. So we've been doing that with the Friday videos, and I think they're very cool. I don't know any of the stats yet on like how they work or like what the response has been to them, but right now we're just putting them over the outtakes and making sure that they're not in obtrusive places.
And those work on, at least it worked on my iPad when I was using it, and which is really nice because, I mean, before, I primarily, if I'm watching YouTube, I don't watch it anywhere else besides my iPad, sometimes on my phone. But, like, I would just always be, like, wanting to click, like, the next video.
Right. Mm.
And it would never let you, and now it does, so it's nice. Because before, it would end, and then it would be like, now loading a random one, and it was like... I want the one that you like suggested to me.
Yeah. And so now these will work on the mobile apps. Supposedly they will work on the mobile website on certain phones too. I think maybe it's on the iPad. Maybe if you watch it on a tablet on the mobile, like m.youtube.com.
I wonder do you know if it works on like the TV apps and stuff?
No, not yet. Because, you know, they're still always updating those YouTube apps.
Yeah.
But that's a fun little change. And I think it'll be interesting to move away from annotations.
Oh, God. Can't happen soon enough.
And I almost wonder if it would behoove us to, like, replace CTAs on Scam School.
I would love to.
Like, no, the only thing with the end title stuff is that it is a maximum of 20 seconds from the end of the video.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to keep, you know, whatever outtakes we put there to 20 seconds, right? But...
That's about the range that I keep them in usually, so.
Yeah. So that would be interesting. And it almost could make it so that instead of rendering out three versions of the video, that we only have to render out, say, two. You know, one that does have the ad and doesn't have the ad. Mm-hmm. And then we just start putting outtakes in the seeker video.
Mm.
You know, because they would just be, like, full screen or whatever.
Gotcha.
You know? I think it would be interesting for us to experiment with that. And
I mean, they got to be more effective than annotations. Annotations have like a 0.5% click-through rate.
Right.
And they only show up for like 30% of our viewers.
And so. I wonder how skewed that data is, because I believe it. I believe that annotations are not as effective as cards. But also, we use annotations way, way more often than we use cards. Like, when we use cards, they're very, like, targeted at certain points of time or related to whatever the video content is saying. Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, you know, every Scam School episode has four annotations at the end that, you know, people may not even ever get to.
Right.
You know.
But you can go in and see, like, specific analytics for annotation performance on, like, a per-video basis.
Uh-huh.
So you could go, like, oh, well, here's the Penn and Teller performance. You could go there, and there were, like, three annotations, and like, one of them showed up in the first, like, 10 seconds, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, hey, you go check out our second channel.
Yeah.
And it had a 10% closure rate.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past 30 days, there were 2,500 people who closed it, and a 0.1%
click rate.
Click through rate. So there was 25 people who clicked on it.
Yeah.
So. And then cards aren't always way more effective. From what I've seen, cards can range. Cards at kind of a minimum have like 2% click through rate.
Mm.
But when they perform really well, they
do better.
They can do like 8% click through rate, or something that's really vital. Like the one like super standout card that we have is at the end of the backmasking Modern Rogue episode.
there's a card for the reverse version of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great because everybody can tell that there's reverse messages in there, but nobody wants to rip out the video and put it into a video editor and reverse it. So the fact that they know that there's a video that already does that for them is, like, really appealing. Mm-hmm. So that's got, like, tremendous numbers. That's got, like, 30% click-through rates or something.
Yeah. And I also just feel like when we use cards, they are better targeted.
Yeah.
You know? Also, you can't close cards. You can't turn cards off.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wonder how that changes stuff.
And, I mean, they're usually so fast that nobody would really be able to.
Can you bring those up, too, like, later in the video? Because
you can click the little eye.
That's what that's what I thought.
You'll see all of them.
That's one of the things about annotations is even if it was helpful.
If you missed it, you missed it.
Yeah, and you have to go back. But if it was in a card, then you can watch the whole video and be like, okay, I'm done watching this, and now I'll go to the site that they said rather than needing to backtrack.
And there are analytics for when people click on that eye in the corner.
Oh, really?
And
really?
Do that.
Oh, wow.
And the click-through rates in when they click on that is tremendously higher. I mean, you would kind of expect it because they're actively seeking out that information, but you're talking like 50 to 70% click-through rates.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Those are effective.
We got a question on Twitter. I don't know if you've, like, if we're cool to talk about this, but Waffleophagus asked this on Twitter, and it kind of relates to this last topic. I don't know how you're feeling about talking about this.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't want to, we can talk about it later.
I feel bad because, like, I didn't really talk to you guys about it at all either. So
yeah,
it was like, true.
I heard it from Brian. Was like, hey, did you know this is happening? And I was like, again.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I'm like, well, no one will actually believe me.
Right.
So
yeah. Also, the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. So, anyway, but we can totally talk about it. I'll probably talk about it like loosely though.
So Waffle's question was, how goes the search for your new co-host for the Bizarre Briefing? Yeah. coyly referring to our Friday giveaway video where, you know, we asked if people wanted to work at Scam Stuff, and we got a lot of people who said that they did. But also the fact that
someone who's 12 years old emailed me asking for the job, and I was like, I'm really sorry, but I don't think we can legally give that to you.
Someone on the comments was like, I'll be your child slave. You just have to adopt me.
What?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
It's very strange.
These people should not be trusted with the Patreon.
True.
So I don't know how you would phrase it. John, I'm tossing the ball to you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because so Kelsey and I were moving, but what that means for like our whole Scam stuff, Brian and I aren't absolutely sure yet. Just because we don't know if I have some hand in things remotely, if that'll go really well or really poorly. So we're kind of still discussing that. So, and I think this would have happened anyway, no matter if I was, you know, in the area or not in the area. But we're looking for someone to help out with Scam Stuff just because there's a lot going on. And, you know, we want to be able to
have someone, you know, feet on the ground here in Austin.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So we're looking for someone to help out at the warehouse and possibly do some other stuff as well. I think it really depends. Like, we had some people email us who are interested in doing the warehouse stuff, but also have some video background. And I know, you know, we're always doing more video content too. So that's something that, you know, you guys would probably appreciate.
Interesting.
Having around. But we're not really sure what's going to happen yet. So I don't know how much there is to talk about.
Sure.
But I hope it happens soon because the Christmas season is upon us.
Real busy time.
I'm just not thinking about the timeline of all of this.
Yeah, so.
Oh, boy.
Well, so.
Wait, that happened last time.
Yeah.
It was right around Christmas, and I had to take over Scam Stuff for the Christmas rush.
Well, hold on. So to make. this is why I should talk to you guys first about it. But yeah, so. Well, I'm not moving until after the Christmas rush is over.
Good.
So that's not a concern. But having someone to the idea is whoever we're hiring will be here for the Christmas rush because we hire external help during that time anyway.
Gotcha.
And that would be a really good time to be training someone how stuff works because there's a lot of stuff going on, and so that's just the most efficient time to show someone. So I think that's our goals with that. But yeah, I'm not piecing out before the, and yeah, that's what I was trying to say earlier is because it's hard to figure out, you know, how everything will actually function later. Because I'm staying on to do stuff during the busy time.
Right.
And so like my mind,
and a lot of stuff you can do remote, whether it's, you know, finding things or, you know, finding suppliers or whatever.
So my mind isn't thinking, oh, what would this look like remotely in January? Right now, my mind is on like, Christmas. I have to figure that out. So it's like, it's kind of a weird thing to talk about because it's not on my like all the urgent stuff is related to like this year's Christmas season. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to just start being like, I wonder what working remotely will be like, you know, especially in a time like January where literally like scam stuff is like closed. Dead and nothing's happening.
Turn the website off like, just to save power.
Yeah. So that's not actually okay. February is even slower, but,
and I didn't want to push you for like, what's your master plan?
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. Like, well, and especially because I don't really – I think that's why it's weird to talk about because it's because Brian and I don't exactly know all
the details. You know,
what will happen. And I do – and I've told Brian this too, but I'm kind of trying to think of, you know, what I want to be doing professionally in the next, like, 5 years or whatever. So, like, you know, really far out than, you know, the upcoming months. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to – you know, if I do stuff with, you know, you guys still and do that remotely – I do want to start taking on some other projects and ideas as well. Yeah. So
I would be sad if this stopped being the only all in studio podcast on this network. That would be disappointing. But
you'll have to.
God, are we gonna have to add another person to this podcast?
Yeah,
they better fucking like Cheerios. That's all I'm saying.
We have to find this person in the cereal aisle. Hey, what are you looking at? You're looking at those checks? Get out of here.
They have to like the one variant that none of us like, but it still has to be Cheerios.
Plain. You know what you can do, though?
The only one left is plain, not honey Cheerios.
Plain's fine.
Especially
if you add like a little bit of sugar on it.
Well, if you're adding sugar on it, then you're...
I mean, that is basically like the rest, but yeah.
If I am doing stuff remotely and I'm still on this podcast... You still will have me on if I'm working remotely.
We'll have to think about
you. Put me in like a little window, and then just have me on
the
mute.
Little John box.
Yeah, so I was like, so I'm just there, but you're like,
you could just be working in the background.
Like, you're just like clearly mad at me all the time. Like, this guy works remotely. Yeah. He doesn't pull his own weight.
Whatever, John.
Like, what a waste of space.
We just put a drop cam in wherever you're living, and we just turn that on when we do the show, so you don't have to do anything.
I just kind of want like us to take a picture of John's face and then like stretch it out to be the background image. Uh-uh. And so that way, just on the top and bottom, we've got like this really long stretched out John face. So that way he's always with us.
That would be a good way to memorialize him.
Yep.
Because you've died.
So if and this is Brant's watched this happen like 70 times. So this is all new to Bryce, but based on previous timelines of what has happened, is I always go in thinking like, oh, I just want to do something completely different, and then, you know, I do or whatever, and then Brian has some enticing idea that brings me back and gets me involved in some way. So. Mm. So it may not be.
So it's not goodbye. It's just see you soon.
Well, we'll see. Again, we'll see what actually happens and it goes through with all this stuff. So, but yeah, hilariously, that is what has happened in the past.
Yeah, when Brian brought it up, he was like, "Hey, so John wants to go to Florida," and I was like,
"Again?
Again? It's like, did I just jump back in time like 2 years? What happened?"
Yeah. So part of me is like, I don't know. Part of me sometimes is like, man, you guys should just let me go on my own way and not go through all this pain every time. And then the other part of me is like, why don't I just from the get-go just always be doing something partially remotely?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know yet. We don't know what's best. But we do know that we need someone awesome to be doing stuff over here. So
is there something that people can do if they're interested right now, or should they wait?
For sure. So so we sent out an email to the email list that was, you know, because in the video that we did for the giveaway video, it's kind of hard to tell, like, it's not like actually announcing that we're hiring someone. It's just kind of a cool, like, see what kind of it would be like to work at Scam Stuff in a highly fictionalized manner.
First, you got to put those license
plates. This day was unlike any day at Scam Stuff, which is probably speaks to the representation of what it's actually like to work here. But anyway, sorry, now I'm distracted watching the video. But the best way would be to, you can either respond to that email or just email Brian directly, or I started a Google Doc where I'm keeping track of people who are emailing the scamstuffstore@gmail.com directly.
Okay.
And yeah, we have a couple people in there who have kind of interesting takes on stuff. But if basically just shoot us an email.
Do they
fax your resume?
Do they? I'm assuming they would need to be living in Austin, probably.
Yeah, I mean. You will
at the end of the day,
you'll need, if you don't live in Austin now, you would need to live close to or in Austin.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, we had a couple of people emailing saying, oh, I wish I could do this job, but I'm in, you know, a different state. But I mean, all three of us are relocated to do the job as well.
True.
So, I mean,
but we also don't know what this new job is going to be exactly. So maybe don't start looking up U-Hauls.
Yeah, don't move until you have the job is probably a good idea.
It's something I should have learned that lesson.
But if you should email us saying, you know, there's the warehouse part of the job, which will definitely be part of the job. But then there'll be ways to fill that job into kind of a fuller time position. And if you have experience doing like either marketing stuff or video stuff or just any category of thing that you might think would be a good fit for us. Just mention that. And if you give us a resume, we'll read it. And you'll probably look extra professional.
Yeah.
But I don't think a resume is required at this time.
Mm-hmm. You're going to turn your back for 5 seconds and Bryce and I are going to be like, hey, so you're just doing all of our ads now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and we'll just get some cheap labor to do all the warehouse stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's do that. Hey, hey, Brent, let's do that. Uh-huh. Let's do that.
Got it.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying there's a
don't let John
there's know. Definitely people who have had, you know, video work experience that could do a little bit of both. And we talked about that actually on a previous show.
Yeah.
Because I was saying, like, and this was before I knew that we were moving, but it's always been kind of time to have more people around doing stuff. I think that'll always be the case with us.
And Brian's been very public about wanting to expand the number of bodies working here in the next, you know, 12, 24 months. So
I don't think we have enough backgrounds in this room for more people.
No, we don't. I think we would
That's actually why I have to move.
You've got to give it up.
Yeah,
we've got the brick, the cement that might be okay for somebody, but then, like, you know,
other than that, it's just like closet door or
like
cables.
a copy of this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cables.
Oh, their background could just be the TV that we use to look at our feed.
Oh, interesting.
So that way it's like recursion.
So then it'll be one of those like forever.
Yeah.
Like windows would be in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
That'd be good.
Do you have any last topics before we wrap this show up?
We're about
time.
I don't think so.
Think we're good.
Do we have anything coming up?
What's coming
up? In the pipeline?
I mean, more Modern Rogue shoots, more Scam School shoots in a couple weeks. Brian is in L.A. He's going to go see Auntie Donna on Wednesday, and so he's doing Cord Killers and Night Attack from there. Mm. But as far as big stuff, you know, I don't think there are any live things going on the rest of the year. Just getting back on track and back on the routine. And
yeah.
It's Order Your Stuff from China Week on the Scam Stuff store. Anything that is made in China, we have to like order this week for Christmas.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I got big lists.
Yeah.
Got to spend all the money.
Well, that's going to do it for the Bizarre Briefing. Let's start with plugs. John, do you want to, what's up with you?
I still have no plugs.
No plugs. That's okay.
See, when I actually leave, then I'll have all the plugs. I'll be like, this is my, you know, new company.
But you won't be allowed to talk about this at all. That's so weird.
I still, I don't know. I've been like, I don't know. I feel like an old person now. I've officially graduated to being an old person. Hmm. No,
I don't use Twitter anymore.
That's true.
But if you do have something with scam stuff or an order or whatever, scamstuffstore@gmail.com is the best way to get in touch.
Yeah, that's a good way to get in touch. It is getting to be Christmas time, so mm-hmm. we have some new products still.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to talk about them yet, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do have some exciting stuff in the pipeline that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, we do?
That's in the works.
The stuff that I posted about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I haven't looked at that yet. But
yeah, no, we actually should look at that after the show here because I need to do something to that today.
Okay.
And Brian's not here.
Oh, yeah, also there's that other thing that you posted that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Oh, wait, then I don't know what you're talking about. In any case, this is all not interesting.
Now I have no idea.
You can find me on twitter.com/Gatowag, GATOWAG.
And on Twitch at Gatowag, right?
And on Twitch at Gatowag, GATOWAG.
That's where you stream video games and editing and all sorts of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been streaming a good amount lately.
Like, somewhat.
Occasionally. Yeah. Like, you know, you're getting... I have, like, been streaming a lot less than I usually do.
Mm.
But just wait. When I come back, boy...
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Brycast, B-R-Y-C-A-S. Hey, I wanted to plug this because I hadn't done one in a while, but there's a new That Sounds That Cool playlist up, and it's super, super awesome. It's got a lot of really great stuff on it, and it's a music playlist. So if you've got Spotify or Apple Music, you find some really cool music there. So that you maybe haven't heard of, so if you probably have, but...
It's a lot of songs, I tell you what.
It is a lot of songs. I think this last one was 188 or so.
Wow.
And, but I also, that's a little
I don't know
higher.
If I've ever even heard that many songs in my life.
What? You definitely have.
Bran just listens to the same three songs on repeat.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to find some new stuff.
It's just Ghetto Boys all around the clock. Yeah. I got five Ghetto Boys songs that I listen to all day.
So check that out. That sounds cool. That's the actual website. This show, you can find us at bizarrebriefing.com or on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. You can also find us on youtube.com/scamstuff, which is where we put the video versions of these. We record on the last Monday of every month, so it looks like we will be recording on Halloween. Possibly. Ooh, spooky. But if there are any changes, follow us on Twitter or something, and we'll put those out.
Yeah.
One. We know about them. And with that, we're going to bring the Bizarre Briefing to a close. Bye, guys.
Later.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.